Hi, I'm Stacy.
And I'm Jessica. And we're two sisters momming, homeschooling, adventuring with our kids in the Pacific Northwest.
We are by no means experts, but we love to chat about what is and isn't working in our own lives.
Join in the conversation at homeschooladventurespod@gmail.com.
How's it going?
Pretty good. What's up?
Not too much. This week's been pretty boring.
Yeah. We did meet up.
We did. We had a really good day.
We had an adventure day.
We did. I wasn't sure how it was going to go. We've had some rain, which is great because we've been needing it to clear out the fire smoke and help with the firefighting. So it's been good. But it was like the whole way to the meetup, it was pouring, like torrential pouring, and I was like, oh, this is gonna go badly.
It's like I'm gonna bring my little 7 week out.
I know, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Rain, it's gonna be great.
I was like, oh my gosh.
Somehow magically, as soon as we got there, it stopped raining, and it was epic.
It was it cleared up, so that was fantastic because we are trying to find these like meeting places that are kind of like halfway,
which is weird because like we have like our spots that been here, so then we like normally like circle through them and like we know which ones work the best, like during when it's cold and when it's a little bit warmer,
right?
So now it's like we're starting over, finding some new spots
from scratch. Yeah, and it's not exactly like fun to do that because sometimes you find some misses.
I know, you have to be okay with like knowing that even if this one place seems like it's gonna be awesome, it might not be.
Yeah, like on the way there I had to pull over and look up like, okay, it's pouring. Like, is there a library open nearby? Like, what can we even do? So I knew that the library was a backup plan.
Yeah.
A library in a super small town that was probably not set up to take on all of us.
Right. I know. But I think that's the best way to go about it is, like, have, like, your set plan of where you're planning on, like, going and exploring. But then, like, if you can, have, like, a little backup plan in your pocket.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just something in case it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
Like our place that we met at before this one, it was good. True. Like there was some, we had some issues with the sand and driving on it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I like found this place. It was like a beach, like on the Columbia. And I was super excited. I was like, this is like halfway. It's going to be awesome. So I got there and my husband drives our car like on the sand all the time. Like when we go to the beach, I'm like, oh, we're
it's all wheel drive. Like it should handle it.
I have a Highlander. It's going to be perfect. And then I start driving. I'm like, oh my gosh, I am stuck. I don't know when Stacy's going to get here. But Stacy drove my car for me.
We figured it out. It was fine. We got out of it. But when she was saying she was stuck, I was like, oh my goodness. Like what would we do out here in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, there's like no one. It's like a neighborhood.
Yeah.
It was fine.
It was totally fine. I mean, that place like ended up being super sunny. Like we kind of both like to look for shade and spots.
We like to tease that we're vampires, but we do need like a little bit of shade, especially when you're in like the direct sun and we like camp out for the day. I get a little burnout. But
yeah.
There was zero sun.
We luckily had some rain umbrellas in our car that we like set up on our chairs.
Exactly.
We made it work.
Totally.
Yeah. And the kids were unfazed. They had a blast.
Oh yeah. They had an epic time. Lots of water fights.
Mm-hmm.
So the weather's going to be changing soon. And
right.
I think we have like one more week of warm weather.
Yeah. So we're going to milk it for all it's worth. We're going to go to the beach and do some other fun things.
Yeah. Our goodbye to summer.
Yeah. Farewell to summer. But like we found that place this week and we were able to have a good time there in the rain. So we're going to make winter great too.
Exactly.
It's funny because it was just a small little place, but it was full of like huge trees and
way
some
smaller,
small nature trails.
Way smaller than like what we typically find for like state parks, but like it was perfect. They had a blast.
It was. We pulled out like some camp style chairs and just sat down on the trail.
That was
awesome. The kids just like ventured off down different trails and then they come back to us with creatures and it was perfect.
Then they wanted, I like love how like they're like finding these bugs and it like, you know, sends them on their little rabbit trail of like, okay, what does this bug eat?
Yes.
What can I?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about today.
That is. That's a perfect segue. Yeah. We're talking about what we do for science and nature studies. We're kind of tying those two in.
Yep. All right. So science and nature study, I feel like they kind of go together.
I feel like they do too. Yeah. Biology, so, right?
Right.
Exactly. It all ties in.
So what type of curriculum are you doing?
So we have not used a curriculum since I started homeschooling. And in the first few years of homeschooling, our science and nature study was we had a zoo pass and we had an OMSI pass, which OMSI is this fantastic science museum here.
OMSI.
Yes.
I miss it.
I know. We lived pretty close to both of them, so it made sense. And we would go weekly. And OMSI's so hands-on. There's so much for, like, the kids
and
to
they're
do.
Always switching stuff out. Like, bringing new exhibits in, and I feel like there's always something exciting going on. And
yeah, I love not having to, like, think about it. I was like, check that box of science, check that box of nature study.
Right.
We'd even done a couple of classes at the zoo with a co-op that we used to be a part of. So it was really cool. And the zoo is, like, just as good as OMSI. So
we have a great zoo.
I know.
Yeah, missing Portland Zoo is awesome.
Yes. Missing it. We need to go. I think it's open.
Yeah.
We probably just have to wear masks.
Yeah. I'm down.
So that was our curriculum for the first couple of years, and I loved it. I felt like it was all hands-on, something we love to do. So now we kind of just do what we do for everything. We read a lot of books and stuff.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many great nature books out there. I feel like out of all of our collections of school books, we have so many nature books that are awesome. Like I said last week, we've been doing The Good and the Beautiful's new botany curriculum, which we've been loving. But we've been kind of like looping through that and building foundations of scientific understanding. It's a science curriculum for K through second grade. So we've been loving both of those.
Good. And just kind of using that like as your spine to jump off from.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's kind of what we've been doing. And then there's just, like you were saying, tons of great books that we've been kind of going through too.
Yeah. I've been having the kids, my child and then your two, I've been having them do like science experiments together. So we found some great books. There's so many of them out there now, but, we've done the Curious Kids Science book.
Yeah, I have that written down
by Asia Citrope. Mm-hmm. And Awesome Science Experiments for Kids by Crystal Chatterton.
Yeah.
So I'll just get from the library a few books like that. They just have multiple like experiment ideas in different sections. So I'll kind of go thumb through it and I'll just put like a little sticky tab on, you know, like experiments that don't look too overwhelming, that look age appropriate and that we have the supplies for.
Yeah.
So once I put the sticky tabs on it, I just hand the books over to the kids and I say, okay, which one do you want to do?
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. And then they pick a couple that they're really excited about and we'll just do them.
That's awesome. Like all the Julie Rothman books.
Oh, I love her.
All of them. Like you can't go wrong with any of them. But specifically the Nature Anatomy one we've loved. And we've had that one for forever, but we still get it out all the time and go through those.
I love that too. We read through it. And then we also pull that book out when we do our nature journals.
Mm-hmm.
So probably it comes up, I would think it comes up on our loop like every couple of weeks we'll get nature journaling. And for this, we just sit down with some quiet music and our art supplies. And we both have like a journal that has like the good paper in it that we can draw on. And we'll just pick something from that book or some other like science or animal book that we have, or something else that we like to do is when we're out in nature, we'll take pictures of birds or animals that we see, or even like flowers and trees. And then we can go back through my pictures and find something that we like learned about out in nature. And then we'll draw that.
That's awesome.
So we've been doing that for a while now.
What was the name of that one book? The Law's Guide to Nature Drawing and Journaling. We loved that one for like specifically like nature journaling.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's so many of them out there though now that like have great ideas for nature journaling.
Yeah.
You were the one that told us about. My kids are always like, let's like take this creature home with us and we can draw them later. I was like, let's take a picture and then we can get it back out later.
I mean, we definitely have taken creatures home. That's something that happens, but I do try to avoid it whenever we can.
A growing nature collection, too.
Yeah.
But I think that makes it so exciting for them, too, like when they feel like they're adding something to it. So,
yeah, we've collected so many, like, the other day this is so gross. We collected a dead praying mantis. Wow. And he was so excited to bring it home for our nature collection. I'm like, we don't really have like dead bugs, but he was just so excited about it. So there it is, just sitting on a dresser, decaying. It's so gross. So I typically like to find things that aren't just going to be like gross like that, but
yeah. I mean, we have so many robin eggs now that it's like, I want to be like, okay, we have like
we're good five. Now.
We don't need to take this one home too.
We're good now.
They get really excited about that stuff.
Yeah, especially like finding caterpillars, or we find a lot of rough skin newts. And what we like to encourage them to do is to like make a habitat where we are and kind of like play with them and observe them for a while.
Exactly.
And then set them free.
Yes. Yeah, like this week when we were when we met up at that state park, there they were collecting lots of caterpillars, and that kind of was what I was talking about with my daughter. She found a roly-poly, and we had to look up what does it eat, what is it, you know, like what type of a habitat should we be building for it. And I think when it happens like that naturally, it's so much better.
Cool. Yeah. I feel like every time we get out into nature like that, there's just always so many opportunities to like expand our learning and make it hands-on. And I just feel like those like moments are things they're going to remember so much more than textbooks.
Totally. Do a lot of rock counting too. I can't even.
Yes, you love rocks and minerals. When I was in Montana, they have tons of rocks there. And
you never brought me any home.
I do have a collection for you. I just haven't given it to you yet. But the whole time I was like, oh, my sister would love this one. She would know what this is. I have no idea what this is, but like it's cool.
It's a weird one. But like my son was so into it for so long that I was like, okay, we have to figure this out. We have to figure out what all these rocks
and
are.
And little did you know that you would just be so inspired by it yourself.
I think it's so cool. I mean, that's like a great thing to get us outside too. Like, I feel like a lot last winter we were like needing new things to do, and we would find these great little like quarries and rivers, and we would go rock hounding as a family, and that was always a fun one that we would do. They're also like, my kids have taken flowers and plants home and dissected them. So I just feel like when you take them outside, they're getting more of a nature study than usually what they're going to retain from me getting a book out at home.
Yeah, and it's such a slam dunk because you don't have to go and prep anything or like hope that you see a certain type of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that it's so much easier just to go out there and just see what they discover, and then you can extend the learning from there.
Mm-hmm. And they love some of the other things that we do is foraging. They'll like pick berries.
Oh, yeah.
And
my kiddo loves these berries called salmon
berries. I was going to say salmon berries. He like handed me one. I was like, is this even edible? Of course he knows what it is, knows it's edible.
Well, I just don't think that they're very good, but I think he just loves them because he knows that they're edible. Right. Like he discovered that for himself. Like I actually think that a park ranger was talking to us about them.
Oh, really?
A long, long time ago. So I think he learned from her. And I just think that that's why he likes them so much, is because like he discovered it for himself from someone else. It wasn't me. And so he always scopes them out on the trail and makes sure to eat them and share them with others. And I'm just like, oh, thanks so much. I don't really like these, but okay.
Yeah, we love doing that. We'll do, I don't even know if we have done it. We didn't even get to it this year, but we normally do blackberry picking, and then we come home and
we picked other berries, right?
Yeah,
we did raspberries.
We're going to make it count, but we usually do that and then do like some jam and stuff, but we do that. What else? We've been outside and we've collected owl pellets and brought those home to dissect, which are super awesome.
And we learned that other animals like do that same thing, which I did not know that. So
what do you mean?
Like big birds of prey, like the hawks and stuff, they don't they just kind of spit out all their stuff.
Oh, I totally know. Yeah, we were on a trail and we had to like look into her. Yeah. What?
So we're learning all the time too.
It's true. Yes, definitely. Some things I'd written down that like my kids have been like wanting to do is my kids are obsessed with like trying new teas out. And mm-hmm. we had read about in one of our books, we had read about making like a bark tea.
Oh, yum.
So I was like, that sounds so good.
That sounds amazing.
So they were saying that they would want to do that. I guess I just get nervous because I'm like, I don't actually know if like I'm identifying this correctly, but.
Yeah, it's a little scary. I feel like I stay really far away from all mushrooms. Like, mushrooms, that's a no-go. Exactly. And any red berries seem a little scary to me.
I know, they're always a little suspicious, but.
I don't know. I guess the rest is kind of like,
There's lots of books that we have that we're going to be reading this year about, like, foraging and stuff, too. So we're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else there was. Like for like a more hands-on, what we would do a lot of time is when we do a big cycle on birds is my kids like to do like make their own little nests.
Well, that's a good idea.
I can do Play-Doh or Salt-Doh, just like something that they would be more hands-on they're playing with, like while we were reading or whatever. So they love doing that. And then a lot of times we would print out like little life cycle cards. There's so many great ones.
Oh, that's
ones
cute. Yeah. Butterflies and frogs. Yeah. That's cute.
We did it with frogs. We did it so many. But then kind of see.
That's such a Montessori task. I love that.
I was a Montessori.
Yes,
maybe
you were.
Where it came from.
It's just
they
in
love
you.
That's always a good one. Then there's a ton of books like for like adults that are more. That I feel like have helped me kind of understand how to help them with nature study and understanding nature. The one that I read forever ago was Last Child in the Woods.
Oh, that one's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. It's such a good one. It just reminds you like why you need to get out there and that it's worth all of the work that it takes.
Yeah. Vitamin N by Richard Louv, something like that.
Yeah, I think that's the same author as Last Child in the Woods, right?
Is it? Yes, I think so. That does sound familiar. And then How to Raise a Wild Child, Scott D. Sampson.
Sounds like I need to read that one, too.
And The Nature Fix. Have you read that one?
No.
Hmm. Yeah, those are the ones that are on my list to read this year. So
that's great.
That's what I'm hoping to get to. But you have a ton of nature books that you read, too.
Yeah, we like doing, not so much nature, but we like doing for, like, more science. We do like a scientist study every year and pick like a scientist. Like we pick.
Do you just like pick one for the whole? You do.
Well, I mean, obviously, when I started out, I was like, "Oh, we can totally learn about three," but we've whittled it down to one a year now.
Who have you done?
So we've done Audubon. Okay, is it James John Audubon or John James? But Audubon, I think we know the bird guy. So we did a deep study like on him, which was really fun. There's like some movies about him and lots of good books.
Yeah, book was so great. The kids book.
Yeah, the kids book I think is called The Boy Who Loved Birds. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that one we read through. And then we were so fortunate to live close to at Forest Park. They have an Audubon Society where they have some birds that they're rehabilitating and then birds also that they just keep there all the time that can't be released. So we got very familiar with that place and learned a lot through that too.
Yeah. This is awesome.
I know. I miss it. But some other good picture books that help with science is we liked The Shark Lady by Jess Keating. Brilliant Deep, which is about coral reefs and like what's happening with them. I did not write down the author on that one. I read a great book to him called Marie Curie, which is the scientist, obviously.
Oh, this is what you were telling me.
Yeah, and it's by Demi. And it was kind of cool because we read the book and it talked about obviously her finding radium and then what they started using that for. And then we had our chemistry book. I think it's called Daring Chemistry. It's a chemistry book for kids. And it has like all these dangerous chemicals or the dangerous chemistry. And so we looked up radium in that section and we learned more about radium. And then that kind of turned into learning about the radium girls, which were the girls who worked on painting the clock faces. And they were affected by this this deadly chemical. And then they like won their lawsuit. So it was kind of cool that it just like, you know, it was just one of those rabbit trails that turned into learning about so much more than just a scientist. So we love doing things like that because it just sparks so much more conversation. And
especially when they're like having like a real life story to follow it up with.
That right.
Way more interesting.
Yeah. So we watched some videos on how it affected them and stuff. So that was kind of cool.
That's awesome. All right. What are you obsessing over?
Well, I am reading this book to my son right now called The Princess Academy, which you would think like would be a big turnoff to a boy, but
no, I think it's so great. You need like female leads and all of that stuff.
Yeah, we've loved so many books that have female leads, like Little House on the Prairie and Heidi, and
I swear I like try to keep it very like boy-centered books to keep my son interested. Mm-hmm. And then whenever we like would read something with like a female lead, like, eh, I don't really like it. Okay, now we're only gonna
now we're only focused on boys exactly. And books. Yeah, I've tried to keep it like pretty equal, just to see, you know, from all sides. But this one probably wouldn't have like caught my eye because like princess title does not sound like something that would be interesting to him. But I either heard about it on the Read Aloud Revival or some of the book blogs that I read, but it was like recommended that it would be good for both, you know, boys and girls, and that the title was really not telling what the story was about, which is so true because they're kind of forced into this Princess Academy. Mm-hmm. And like, these are these mountain people who, you know, like have these old fashioned values, and it's set back in time too. So, it's been so good. Like, it's a great book on its own, but the cool thing about it is it's tying into what I'm preparing for our co-op class. Like, this year we're learning all about like worldviews and diplomacy and just like how to get along with people who may not think the same things as you. And it's pretty cool because they teach these girls diplomacy, and you know, the rules are the same, like, you know, start with common ground. What do you guys have in common? And it was just really cool to like learn those lessons and read those lessons aloud to my son too, and be like, oh my gosh, this is what I'm learning about.
That's awesome. That's kind of like what I'm obsessing over, which is a Netflix documentary, and it's called The Social Dilemma. I know a lot of people are talking about it right now, but it was scary and eye-opening, and yeah, all of the things that I think everybody needs to be aware of right now, which is how social media and all the things like that are affecting us. But
yes,
like
you recommended it to me, and I watched it. We watched it, my husband and I, and we deleted like everything. That was like our reaction to it.
Like, immediately went, I'm going to turn off all the notifications, do this and this and this. But
it's eye-opening, right? Yeah,
totally.
And I think like we all feel it. We feel the shift and how things are changing. But this just like really lays it out there.
I mean, especially it's like the creators of a lot of these platforms and stuff are like people that have helped build these platforms. So to hear like them talk about like what's happening.
Right. When
like,
their alarm bells are going off, like that's scary.
Then we should probably be a little bit more concerned, and being aware, I guess, is the first step.
Right. Yeah. Being aware, that is the first step. So true.
So you should check it out if you haven't yet. It is crazy.
It is crazy. I've been thinking about it so much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess until next week.
Until next week. Bye.